Benson at Lamello. Page 51. We're discussing the five topics of this section. We have a cherry bob, aggressive ecstasy, and stai bob, fervent or continuous ecstasy. So this is the southern division of the ocean of devotion. Describes how a devotee relishes rasa. Rasa does not simply refer to our eternal relationship with Krishna like Madhurya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa, but actually rasa is something that occurs or we experience when our affectionate relationship is intensified and stimulated to a relishable crescendo. There are five components of rasa. The eternal affection, which is the sthayi bhav, and the four types of emotional experiences which intensify that affection, which are mentioned here as vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and vyavachari bhav or sanchari bhav. So each of these five waves in the southern division will discuss one of the components in detail. In this section, Rupa Goswami is giving a summary. So chapters 20 through 26 discuss this first aspect of rasa, the ingredient, first ingredient of rasa. It's called vibhav, which is the first component or ingredient of rasa. So what is vibhav? Vibhav is that which stimulates our eternal affection for Krishna, heightening it to the point of relishable intensity. In other words, we have eternal affection for Krishna, which means we're situated in a particular rati, attachment or affection, such as Madhurya Ras, Madhurya Rati. And Sakhi Bhav or Gopi Bhav is a Manjari. And there's different things that the persons and places and ideas and thoughts that manifest within us or appear before us, which stimulate that foundational feeling which is within our heart and creates different reactions. So we can understand the basic concept of vibhav by this example. A mother has constant affection for her child. So this can be called the rati. She has vatsalya rati, parental affection, or vatsalya bhav. Vatsalya rati, this is her stai bhav. This is her permanent devotional mellow or eternal affection is stai bhav for her child. The sthayi bhav of the mother is vatsalya bhav, our child. But sometimes the mother's affection remains in the background of her thoughts. If she is to relish it, the affection may require some stimulus. If the mother sees her child's beautiful face, then her motherly affection could suddenly be heightened to a relishable crescendo. In other words, stimulated. The affection, or the sthayi bhav, is like a reservoir of oil or petrol in the heart. And it's lying there, contained. It's there. It has potential to erupt into flames of fire if it's ignited, if it's stimulated by a spark or some spark or a match. So these sparks or matches are the different ingredients. And the petrol or the fuel lying in the heart is the sthayi bhav. So the child's face corresponds to vibhav because it stimulates the mother's basic motherly affection to the point of relishable intensity. Prabhupada uses a term, he says that vibhav is the causes of ecstasy. So there's further description to understand more about this concept of ras. There's more discussion given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he describes a little bit about material rasa, the experience of material rasa, so we can have some platform which to understand spiritual rasa. So we want to read briefly from that, get some idea from our great Acharya. Ordinary literary scholars and poets, songwriters, they often mention a type of rasa. What is that rasa? It is mundane material rasa, the subtle body that the soul accepts in the material condition. Has separate functions of false ego, ahankara, intelligence, buddhi, and heart, citta, consciousness, and mind. By false ego, or mistaken identity, people think of themselves in a material relationship as a man or a woman. By intelligence, they think of advantages and disadvantages. By heart, they experience happiness and distress. And by mind, they gain knowledge of material objects and therefore become attached to them. Are these newly acquired functions for the soul when it comes into material bondage? Or did the seed of these functions exist already in the soul? The answer is that these functions are not new, for the souls in their individual spiritual forms think of themselves as servants of the Lord according to their particular natures. This spiritual identity takes shelter of the pure spiritual form being the spiritual ego of the soul. The discriminating intelligence also takes shelter of the spiritual form, and the heart, functioning to experience spiritual bliss, also takes shelter of the spiritual form. The mind, which brings awareness of the other objects, other souls, and the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, and serves to fix the attention upon them, also exists in the spiritual form. In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying that we have spiritual mind, we have the spiritual body has a spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, spiritual ego, spiritual heart, and they all have relationships with Krishna and other souls in the spiritual world, and the exchange and interplay of those relationships produces rasa. But in the material world, when we falsely identify, when that soul, with these original functions, a spiritual mind, spiritual heart, spiritual intelligence, spiritual ego, becomes trapped and attached and bound up in the material body, then we try to taste rasa in this world, perverted rasa, in our relationships, in the attempt to enjoy this temporary material body. The very Lord Himself has explained that in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1, rasavai saha rasam yivayam labdvanandi bhavati. When one understands the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Sri Krishna, one actually becomes transcendentally blissful. So Bhaktivinoda continues. However, when the soul becomes conditioned by this temporary, limited material body, these original spiritual functions transform into their subtle and gross counterparts because of material contact, and resultantly manifest themselves as impure material functions. Thus, whatever rasa exists in the spiritual realm exists in perverted form in the material world, and this perverted rasa becomes a subject of the material literary scholars, songwriters, and poets. Rasa is one substance, but in the eternal world, rasa takes an eternal blissful form, whereas in the material world it manifests as mundane happiness and grief. The names, relationships, actions, process, and results that are seen in material rasa and classified by the material scholars have their pure form in spiritual rasa. In other words, in the material world, the material drama, material writings, novels, and life itself, we see conjugal rasa, we see brotherly rasa, parental rasa. Parents are relishing some taste in rasa with their children, husbands are relishing rust and taste and conjugal love with their wives and vice versa, and friends are relishing sakya ras or some type of rasa in exchange with one another. Master and servant are relishing some rasa in exchange with one another. But this is a perverted form of the original eternal transcendental rasas in the spiritual world, which is actually the origin of rasa, which is totally blissful. There's no duality of happiness and grief which we find in this world. So the difference lies not in the varieties of rasas, but in the very natures of the material and spiritual rasas. Spiritual rasa is eternal, material rasa is temporary. Spiritual rasa is excellent, material rasa is despicable. The object of spiritual rasa is Krishna, and the shelter of spiritual rasa is the soul. The object of material rasa, however, is the beauty or ugliness of a material body, and the shelter of material rasa is the contaminated material heart. The very nature of spiritual rasa is bliss, and the nature of material rasa is happiness and sorrow, in other words, duality. Although the supreme blissful essence of rasa is distorted when manifest in the material world, the essential qualities and characteristics of rasa are evident even in the material world. Thus, it is not difficult to use the direct import of the words to describe rasa. Those who hear about rasa and desire to develop their own rasa should just remember that they should not allow the despicable nature of material rasa to enter into their practices. Spiritual rasa can only be produced in the spiritual body of the soul and can never be produced from the material body of a conditioned soul. There are five distinct elements in rasa: stahi bhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and sanchari or vyabhachari bhav. Stahi bhav is the root of rasa. Vibhav is the cause of rasa. Anubhav is the effect of rasa. Sattvic bhavas are the special effects, and sanchari bhavas are assistants to rasa. Rasa is not a matter of understanding, but a matter of tasting. So, of course, we study rasa tattva to understand the elements of rasa. So when we read the rasika literatures described, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Leela, Ras Leela, Govinda Leelamrita, and other Rasa Leela Granths, we can understand the exchanges and what's going on in terms of the conversations and exchanges of love between Krishna and his eternal associates if we have knowledge of rasa tattva. Another book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, entitled Prem Pradeep, gives another further elucidation on this concept of rasa. What is real rasa? Rasa is the supreme goal of life. What materialistic people in this world call rasa is not rasa, is not called rasa by us. Of course, in a Sanskrit dictionary, it defines the word rasa as sap, syrup, juice, and sentiment expressed or flavor contained in writing. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 7, Rasuvai, he says, Rasuham Matsukantaya, I am the taste in water. So that taste, that is also the taste of water, is the rasa. But that's not what we're talking about. Mundane scholars of rhetoric don't call the rasa of a tree rasa. In other words, a sap that's flowing in a tree like date ras. Because they explain a mental ras which is superior to the ras of an ordinary tree. In the same way, we, spiritualists, don't call the rasa of the material body and mind rasa. But the rasa, which is naturally inherent in the soul, is called rasa by us. Sometimes we refer to rasa as date rasa or ganaras. In North India we have ganaras, which means sugar cane juice. We call it rasa. Then there's gore or sugar and rock candy, which are byproducts of that ganaras. And sometimes we refer to rasa as a relationship between the nayak and nayaka, hero and heroine. But actually, real rasa is a relationship between our souls and the soul of all souls, Sri Krishna. On the transcendental platform, human beings are by constitution pure spirit. There is no material body or material mind. When the living entity is situated in its constitutional position, transcendental to matter, that is called the pure spiritual platform. The unmixed feeling of happiness which living entities experience in that spiritual state, living with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is genuine, real rasa. Although we're conditioned by material nature, a living entity is not cut off from his spiritual identity. Due to his association with the contaminated material atmosphere, the conditioned living entity's spiritual identity is transformed as the mind. Still, one is not separated from his constitutional nature. Now the soul has placed his faith, hope, and happiness in the material condition. Therefore, in this state, the rasa of one's constitutional nature is perverted into sense gratification in the form of happiness and distress. So this is vikara, or perversion, or transformation. The pure characteristics of the soul have become transformed in contact with the body. But yet, the pure characteristics still remain perceivable. The rasa experienced in activities of sense gratification is deformed spiritual rasa. Although perverted, the rasa can easily be differentiated from that rasa by simple intelligence. Still, while chanting the holy name, the inherent spiritual rasa is referred to as bhakti rasa. The nature of bhakti and the nature of material love is not independent from one another. Material love is merely a reflection of spiritual love or bhakti. The rationalists experience the spiritual rasa to some extent, and by mistake they think the nature of bhakti and the nature of material love are different subjects. So, what is the difference between bhava and rasa? The difference in bhava and rasa is that many bhavas unitedly give rise to rasa, which we mentioned, these five bhavas come together, sthayi bhava, vibhava, anubhava, sanchari bhava, sthayi, and vibhava. They combine together and create rasa. Prabhupada's godbrother, Van Maharaj, gave an interesting definition of bhakti rasa. He said, the ecstatic principle of concentrated deliciousness or transcendental mellow sweetness inherent in bhakti. This is bhakti ras. This whole book by Rupa Goswami is called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of nectar, the nectarine ocean of bhakti ras. So Rupa Goswami, he also defines that bhakti ras, nectar devotion, page 151. The particular loving mood or attitude relished in the exchange of love with Krishna and the jiva is called, or his associates, is called rasa or mellow. Prabhupada writes here, the different types of rasa combined together, but actually it's different types of bhava combined together to help one taste the rasa or the mellow devotional service. These five bhavas, sthayi bhava, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvic Bhav, and Vyavachari Bhav. They help one taste the rasa of bhakti ras in the highest degree of transcendental ecstasy. So this is also explained here. Some other notes. So the common understanding is that rasa indicates our eternal relationship with Krishna. Like we say, what is your rasa? What rasa are you in? Oh, I'm in Madhuri rasa. Oh, I'm in Sakya rasa. I want to be a coward boy and love Krishna as his friend and friendly love. Sakya rasa. But this is, strictly speaking, this is inaccurate. The actual term is rati. Madhura rati, Sakya rati, Vatsalya rati, Dasya rati. This is the correct term. Rasa. Rasa is something that occurs when the above-mentioned bhavas stimulate rati and heighten it to an unprecedented intensity. When these five bhavas properly combine, one can taste and relish rasa in the purified soul. That's why Prabhupada mentioned here the different types of rasa when combined together. He means to say different types of bhavas, these five bhavas. Without some mixture of these five ecstatic bhavas, one cannot relish transcendental bliss. So Prabhupada goes on to say, page 152. Actually, we're talking about rasa, we're talking about bhakti rasa. So it would be good to understand what is bhakti. We're talking about bhakti and bhakti rasa. So we refer to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gives a very nice definition of bhakti and bhakti ras in the Jiva Dharma. He says that the word bhakti comes from the root word bhaj, which means to serve, as in bhajan. Therefore, the primary meaning of the word bhakti is to render service. The performance of activities which are meant exclusively for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord Krishna, which are done in a favorable spirit saturated with love, and which are devoid of all other desires, and which are not covered by karma and jnana, is called bhakti. So this is a paraphrasing of the Sanskrit verse which Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar Devotion to actually define bhakti, anyabhilashita shunyam. Jnana karma aninavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama, defining uttama bhakti. So this bhakti, this is bhakti ras we're speaking of, this ras, this taste, this flavor, this mellow that one actually tastes in the pure and is within the soul is produced in the context of serving Krishna. When these different bhavas come into play, interacting with one's eternal rati, eternal devotional relationship, and we're called Stai Bhav. So this bhakti is sometimes, we say Bhakti Devi. This is the goddess of devotion. So all the potencies of Krishna have personified forms, just like the Sandini potency of Krishna. The existence potency has a personified form. Who is that? Who is the personified form of Krishna's Sandini Shakti? Lord Balaram. And Krishna has a shakti called the love potency, or the bliss potency, ecstasy potency, Ladini Shakti. Who is the personified form of Ladini Shakti? Srimati Radhika. And Krishna has this Samvit Shakti, knowledge or cognizance, awareness. Chit Shakti. Who is the personification of that? Vasudeva Krishna himself. So, devotion, there's Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion. So all the potencies of Krishna have personified forms. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Bhakti is the Swarup Shakti of Bhagavan. She is Yadritcha, which means that Bhakti has her own will. And she is Swaprakash, self-manifest. Bhakti is not dependent on any other agency in order to manifest in a person's heart. In the Bhagavatam, in Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 6, it says, Ito bhaktir lhokshanje ahoituki apratihata. that by which causeless and uninterrupted bhakti for Lord Ahokshaja arises. So bhakti has no cause. The only cause of bhakti is bhakti herself. Chakravarti Thakur analyzes the meaning. He says that bhakti is that bhakti situated in the heart of a bhava bhakta is the only cause for bhakti manifesting in another. Since Krishna is under the control of his unalloyed bhaktas, he has invested such power in them. Therefore, sadhana is not the true cause of bhakti's appearance. Bhakti Devi, being self-willed, manifests bhakti in the heart when she is pleased with the bhakta's unalloyed service attitude. Ultimately, this indicates that Bhakti Devi acts through the agency of Krishna's bhaktas, who are situated in a stage of bhava. When they see the sincerity of the sadhaka bhakta, the bhakti, which is one with the very nature of their hearts, is transmitted from the heart of the bhava bhakta into the hearts of the sadhakas. Other than this, there is no cause for bhakti's appearance. So this is bhakti, definition of bhakti. Now this rasa, there's also a nice definition given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jiva Dharma of rasa. We can see that also. The spiritual transformation of the heart, which takes place when the perfectional state of love for Krishna, known as rati, is converted into liquid emotions by combination with various types of transcendental ecstasies. In other words, the sthayi bhava, for example, madhura rati, being attached to Krishna in conjugal love, sakhi bhava or mantri bhava, this is the permanent transcendental relationship. When this sthayi bhava or this madhura rati contacts different vibhavs, anubhavs, subject bhavs, and sanchari bhavs, then it converts that rati into liquid emotions. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, when the sthayi bhava, or the permanent emotion of the heart, in one of the five primary relationships of shanta rati, dasi rati, sakya rati, vatsalya rati, or madhura rati, mixes with vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and vyavachari bhav, thus producing an extraordinary taste in the heart of the bhakta, it is called bhakti ras. The explanation of bhakti as rasa is the unique contribution of Srila Rupa Goswami. The common view of materialistic people is that rasa applies to the emotional experience of poetry, drama, or a movie, cinema. This theory of rasa originated from the Natya Shastra of Bharat Muni, a famous work on Sanskrit poetics and drama. Rupa Goswami's explanation, however, of how rasa is generated is exactly in accordance with Bharat Muni's definition. Yet, Rupa has explained the rasa in terms of bhakti or love for Krishna. Thus, there is both a transcendental and a secular conception or material conception of rasa. So we are aspiring for the spiritual rasas. There's also some description of rasa by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. His Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, his commentary on. He says, when Krishna Rati, or in other words, the sthayi bhava, the permanent emotion of the heart, in one of the five relationships of Shant, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, Rati, when it becomes exceedingly tasty for the devotee, by the virtue of the combination of elements known as vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and vyachari bhav, which is induced through the medium of shravanam, kirtanam, and so on, it is called bhakti ras. In other words, When Stayi Bhava or Krishna Rati mixes with these four elements of bhava, vibhav, anubhav, sattvic, and vyavachari, and becomes fit to be tasted in the heart of the devotee, it is called bhakti ras. So this is the vibhav is composed of two elements, alambana and udipan. Udipan is that which stimulates rati, and alambana is that which that in which rati is tasted. And lambana has two aspects, vishaya lambana, the object of rati, Krishna, and ashraya lambana, the reservoir rati, the devotee. So the different components of bhakti ras, they can be mentioned here. Just in a summary way, we're talking about these components. So Stayi Bhava is the permanent sentiment in one of the five primary relationships, Shantadasi, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, which is known as Mukhya Rati. This also refers to the dominant sentiment in the seven secondary mellows. This is Gona Rati. There's the primary rasas, which are five, which we're familiar with, and there's seven secondary Gona rasas, or Gona Rati. Laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, fear. So the Stayi Bhava has these mukhya, there's five Stayi Bhavas, and then there's also the Gonarati. Anubhav is one of the five ingredients of relishing bhakti ras. These are visible actions which illustrate or display the spiritual emotions situated within the heart, such as dancing, singing, and so on. Then there's sattvic bhavas. These are eight symptoms of spiritual ecstasy arising exclusively from Vishuddha Sattva. In other words, when the heart is overwhelmed by emotions in connection with Mukhya Rati or Gona Rati. And Vyavachari Bhav, these are 33 internal spiritual emotions which emerge from the nectarine ocean of Stayi Bhav, cause it to swell and then merge back into that ocean like a wave which rises up, then again settles back into the ocean. So how does Krishna Rati, or the Stayi Bhava, become Bhakti Ras? So Vishwanath gives some explanation. This Krishna Rati is a Stayi Bhava and is transformed into Bhakti Ras. How does it become transformed? When the Madhura, for example, when Madhura Rati, which is permanently residing in the heart of the liberated soul, when it combines with vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and vyachari bhav. In other words, the Krishna Rati is aroused by the stimulating elements transmitted through the medium of hearing and chanting and so on about Krishna. It gives rise to various ensuing emotions, which are known as anubhavas, sattvic bhavas, and vyavachari bhavas. The combination of all these elements produces an extraordinary taste within the heart, which is referred to as bhakti ras. Prabhupada gives an interesting description, Nectar of Devotion, how that even as a sadhaka in our practice of devotional service, we're experiencing some type of rasa. It says that it's on page 152. It says here, 150, without relishing some sort of mellow or loving mood in one's activities, no one can continue to perform such activities. In other words, in the material world, there's Madhura Rati, perverted reflection of spiritual Madhura Rati, conjugal love with Krishna. Sakhi Bhav, Mandri Bhav, conjugal love of husband and wife. So they're relishing some sort of rasa, or mellow, loving mood. Otherwise they cannot continue the relationship as husband and wife in so-called Madhura Rati. Similarly, Prabhupada continues, in the transcendental life of Krishna consciousness and devotional service, there must be some mellow, or taste from service. Generally, this mellow or rasa, bhakti ras, is experienced by chanting, hearing, worshipping in a temple, and being engaged in the service of the Lord. So when a devotee feels transcendental bliss in the execution of a service, that is called relishing the mellow. To be more clear, we may understand that the various feelings of happiness derived from discharging devotional service may be termed the mellows of devotional service. The mellows, in other words, of rasas. Prabhupada is bringing this right down to earth here. Even though the Rupa Goswami in Sanskrit says the taste of bhakti rasa is so astonishing that it always remains apurvata, unprecedented and eternally fresh, as if being experienced for the first time. So Prabhupada, in order to help us appreciate the transcendental position, he explains bhakti rasa in such a way that we can relate. He compares the extraordinary taste relished in our eternal relationship with Krishna to the taste we can find in our devotional practices, sadhana. As he says, generally this mellow or rasa is experienced by chanting, hearing, worshipping in the temple, and being engaged in the service of the Lord. So here Prabhupada is also giving us a clue how we can achieve the transcendental experience of rasa. So how to achieve rasa? How to attain rasa? So previously, in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami said that, talking about sadhana, he said no one can take up bhakti unless he has had previous connection with it. But yet in Prabhupada's commentary on that section, that was page 19 of Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada said even if there's no continuity, if he gets the mercy of a pure devotee, he can take up bhakti. In this chapter 20, Rupa Goswami again says that the relishing of transcendental mellows, he's saying, page 152, cannot be experienced by all classes, because this sweet, loving mood is developed only from one's previous life's activities. But again, Prabhupada, he notes that tasting rasa is also possible by the mercy of a pure devotee. And he comments, he says, in other words, even if one hasn't developed, if he gets the association with pure devotees, he can actually develop this transcendental bliss. So how do we attain rasa? Rupa Goswami says that we can achieve the platform of rasa by discharge of sadhana bhakti, especially by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and associating with Vaishnavas who are on the platform of relishing rasa. This means a rasika Vaishnava. That means someone is on the platform of Bhava Bhakta, a very advanced and elevated devotee. Not very easy to find. In the Jiva Dharma, they give a definition of a rasika bhakta, because Rupa Goswami says she heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto of Vrindavan Leela, Radha and Krishna's pastimes are saturated with rasa. So if she hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then it will very quickly, this prema will come into our hearts and purify our hearts of all lust and anger and greed and the ridrogam, the heart disease. Reading the Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Leela of Radha and Krishna, as explained by the beautiful purports and realizations of the pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, and by associating and hearing Harikatha from rasika Vaishnavas, who are actually relishing rasa. So we often hear this term rasika bhakta, but it's not very easy to find a rasika bhakta. A rasika bhakta is one who is able to relish bhakti rasa within his heart. So when does that happen? Does it bhakta joy? Anybody can relish? And it doesn't come until the stage of bhava bhakti. At that stage of bhava, A devotee's heart becomes infused with Shuddha-sattva from the heart of one of Krishna's eternal associates. In other words, Rupa Manjari shines her love light on the heart of that devotee, or Radharani herself, or Krishna, or Subal, or Sridham, or Lalita Sakhi, or Nanga Manjari, and they illuminate the mind and heart of that devotee with this pure light of bhava, which fills one with ecstasy and the nine symptoms of bhava, which are explained and which we already discussed in Nectar Devotion. This Shuddha Sattva is then known as Krishna Rati, the first dawning of divine love. When this permanent sentiment of love combines with other ecstatic emotions, it generates the unique experience of Bhakti Ras. One who is eligible to taste this rasa is known as a Rasika Bhakta. So this is very high stage, but Rupa Goswami is recommending that by this process, one can achieve that platform of actually attaining rasa by such a sadhana of sadhu sangha and Bhagavat Shravan. Prabhupada summarizes on page 152, this joyous life is attained by one's reaction to reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or else from associating with persons who are very interested in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. Specifically, those who have made the determination to achieve the favor of Govinda by being engaged in transcendental loving service at his lotus feet. Prabhupada goes on, page 152, by hearing and chanting, one achieves the blissful experience of rasa. And Prabhupada quotes first canto, the beginning is to hear about Krishna and the association of devotees who have cleansed their hearts by association. Hearing about the transcendental activities of Sri Krishna will result in one's feeling transcendental bliss always. Then Prabhupada further confirms this by quoting Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 54. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na sochati na kanchati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim lavate param. Which everyone knows that by coming to the transcendental platform, one will be always joyful, free from lamentation, hankering, and become qualified to serve Krishna with devotion. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavaditama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. So, actually, although sadhana cannot directly bestow rasa, there is a link between sadhana and tasting rasa. By faithfully adhering to sadhana bhakti, one may please the Lord and his associates, like Rupa Manjari, Lalita Sakhi, and Anga Manjari, and thereby attract Shuddha Sattva, into his purified heart, which will cause the awakening of devotional ecstasy, bhava. Then bhava will mature into rasa only when it's encouraged or stimulated by various principles of compelling force, which means the varieties of vibhava. Prabhupada explains in Nectar Devotion. Being encouraged by such a feeling, one who is constantly engaged in discharging the regulative principles of devotional service in such a way as to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, develops two principles of compelling force which come under the heading of vibhava. Thus one enjoys transcendental bliss. This is page 152 and 153. So then Rupa Goswami ends his chapter by describing the different elements or ingredients of rasa, beginning with vibhava. And then each chapter will elaborate on these. So this vibhava, what is the definition of vibhava, although it's one of the elements of rasa? Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines it thus. The cause for tasting, the causes for tasting bhakti ras. There are two types of vibhav. Alambana, which means the support, which refers to Krishna and his bhaktas, who possess in their hearts spiritual love known as rati, such as Madhura rati or Sakhi rati, which can be transformed into rasa by combination with the other four ingredients of rasa. And the second type of vibhava is called udipana, U-D-D-I-P-A-N-A, udipana. This is a stimulus . In other words, objects connected to Krishna, which arouse one's spiritual love for him and cause that love to be transformed into rasa. Krishna's flute, Krishna's turban, Krishna's peacock feather, sound of Krishna's voice, Krishna's holy land of Vrindavan. Many udipanas are mentioned. Even the full moon night of the Sharad season is also given as an udipana. So this is the first ingredient of bhakti rasa. The cause for tasting rati, Prabhupada explains on page 153, the cause or basis for relishing transcendental mellow is exactly what we mean by vibhav. So what are the different, let's examine the different subdivisions, which are alambana, which is basic, and udipana, impelling. Rupa Goswami quotes Agni Puran, the basis from which ecstatic love is born is called vibhav, which is divided into two, basic, alambana, and impelling, udipana. So the basic excitants, vibhava, alambana, are subjects in which rati or affection are tasted. And there are two subjects who relish the taste of affection, Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And the impelling excitants are the udipanas, vibhava, udipana, are objects. They're subjects and objects. In other words, vibhava lambana is persons and vibhava udipana are things or objects by which rati is tasted. There are many objects that impel Krishna and his devotees to relish the taste of affection. Krishna's flute, Krishna's footprints, Krishna's prasadam. Prabhupada writes, impelling ecstatic love is that love which develops when one sees an object which reminds him of Krishna. Prabhupada goes on, there are several origins or causes for this compulsive love of Krishna, such as Krishna himself, which is the Vishaya Lambana, and the devotee, the Ashraya Lambana, and Krishna's playing on the flute. This is Udipana Lambana. So all the bhavas stimulate ecstatic love. Although vibhav is the primary stimulant that transforms rati into rasa, it is not the only stimulant involved in this transformation. The heightening of rati into rasa is a cooperative effort accomplished by the interaction of all five emotional components. Vibhav plus anubhav, plus sattvic bhav, plus vyavachari, and stahi bhavs. Prabhupada writes on page 153. There are eight transcendental symptoms found in the body during ecstasy, and all of them are possible only by a mixture of the above-mentioned five ecstatic divisions. Without some mixture of these five ecstatic principles, one cannot relish transcendental bliss. Bhakti rasa. So this is vibhava lambana, which has its two aspects, the vishaya and ashray, the two subjects, Krishna and the devotee. So vibhava lambana, this is the subjects in which rati is tasted, has two subdivisions, vishaya and ashray. The word vishaya means object. Krishna is the object of affection. In other words, we direct our affection towards Krishna. Yashoda directs her affection towards Krishna, the coward boys, the cows, Radharani, the Sakis, Mandris. Ashraya means shelter. Krishna's devotee is a shelter wherein love of Godhead resides. Ashraya is off, the word ashraya is often translates into reservoir. As a reservoir is a source of water, so a devotee is a source of love of Godhead. So the phrase object of affection indicates vishai, and reservoir affection indicates ashray. Ashray is the lover, and vishai is the beloved. So the vibhava lambana is the lambana vishai and lambana ashray. So the lambana vishai is Krishna as the object of ecstatic love. Krishna has different forms. In each form, he acts as an object for his devotee's love. Rupa Goswami mentions on page 53, Anya Rupa, which means that Krishna takes an entirely different form to stimulate the devotee's love for him. In the Brahma Vimohan Lila, Krishna took the forms of so many cows and cowherd boys and thus became the object of Balaram's ecstatic love. Now chapter, let's see. Now there's one song from Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he's explaining in a very beautiful poetic way, he's summarizing this point of vibhav, which we can sing or repeat. He's actually put all the teachings of the Rasa Tattva into songs. This is song number 11. It's called Vibhav, special ecstatic stimulants and foundations which caused love for Krishna to appear. Ratsyaswara hetu jata vibhava namaitakyata alambana udipanna hoy. Ratsyaswara hetu jata vibhava namaitakyata alambana udipanna hoy. Vishaya ashraya gata alambana duimatta Krishna Krishna bhakta sehu bhoy. Krishna Krishna Bhakta Sehu Bhoy. Nayakera Shiromani Swayam Krishna Gunamani Nitya Gunadama Paritpar. Tanra Bhavi Anurakta Gunadhyā Jatika Bhakta Siddha Eka Sadaka Apar. Siddha Eka Sadaka Upar. Bhava Udipanakore Udipana Namadore Krishna Sambandha Bastu Sabha Smitasya Sorava Shinga Bamshi Kambu Shetra Bringa Pant Paranka Nupura Kalarava Paranka Nupura Kalarava Tulasi Bhajanachina Bhakta Jana Darashana E Rupanana Udipan Bhakti Rasa Aswadane E Sabu Hetugane Nirjashila Rupa Sanatan Bhakti Rasa Aswadane E Sabu Hetugane Nirjashila Rupa Sanatan. The things which cause one to taste loving attachment to the Lord are called vibhav, special foundations and stimulants. The two divisions of these causes are called alambana, which means the persons who are the foundations of love and between whom love flows reciprocally. Two, udipan, the factors which stimulate the awakening of love. Furthermore, there are two sides to the alambana foundations. One, the vishaya, the subject of love, namely Sri Krishna, and ashraya, the object of love, Krishna's devotee. Lord Krishna himself is full of all good qualities, and he is the most outstanding hero amongst heroes. He is the eternal reservoir of virtues and is the greatest of the greatest. There are many, many devotees who are totally attached to Krishna in ecstatic love, and they are also full of transcendental qualities themselves. Some of them are known as siddha, spiritually perfect, whereas others are sadhaka, neophyte devotees. The things which stimulate the awakening of ecstatic emotions are called udipana. This includes Krishna's enchanting smile, his sweet bodily fragrance, his buffalo horn, his flute, his conch shell, his place of residence, the buzzing of the bees and brudge, Krishna's footprints which display the auspicious marks on the soles of his lotus feet, his ankle bells and the soft, sweet sound of his voice. Other causes are the tulsi tree, the various symbols and practices of devotional service, and the darshan of the Lord's devotees. In this way, there are many factors which stimulate ecstatic love. All these are called udipanas, which induce one to taste the mellows of devotion, and they have been clearly described by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami. Actually, more can be said about rasa, definition of rasa. I want to speak a little bit more about worldly rasa. Because in the material world, we find objects of taste or rasa, but they are temporary. Rasas can be described as drinks that are relished by the soul's eternal senses. And these have denominations different from the temporary worldly rasas or flavors or tastes of happiness and sense pleasure. Eternal spiritual rasas present no miserable face or vanishing signs like rasas in this mundane world. The limited experience in material rasas are meant to teach us to seek the higher spiritual rasas and become eternal rasikas. Sri Krishna is known as Rasa Maya, and we should submit our love, our loving service, for him to taste. Our senses are really meant for Krishna's enjoyment. The direction of perverted rasa should be changed so as to return to Krishna and not merely end with us. We should always place ourselves in a serving mood, and we should always welcome the name of Krishna and engage our speech, thoughts, and actions in Krishna's service. If we want to be in touch with the eternal rasa, we must become transcendental rasikas. Krishna is the embodiment or the form of all rasa. The holy name is a storehouse of all the rasas which we seek, or which we should seek, without making any differentiation between the holy name and the object pointed out by the holy name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said, under the influence of Maya, human life with its five different rasas is a perverted reflection of spiritual life. When the soul acts as a servant of Krishna, the rasa is pure. When the material body and senses act upon a wrong object, rasa is degraded and becomes detestable. This is a discussion of hankering for Brajaras. Vrindavan is the land of love and beauty, the land of Krishna. It is a long journey to Vrindavan Dham. First, we must cross beyond consciousness. Then we will find sweetness, anandam, rasam. Anandam is controlling, not consciousness. Consciousness is the basis. But the real hankering of us all is for happiness, ecstasy, anandam rasam, The inner hankering is for satisfaction, happiness, sweetness, love, beauty, and mercy. Hankering in our hearts is that we are all hankering for sweetness, for rasa. We are wandering endlessly here and there looking for that rasa and getting kicked and frustrated. So Rupa Goswami, he compares rasa, or spiritual relish, to rasala, which is a kind of sweet drink made from yogurt mixed with camphor and ghee and sugar and other ingredients. So the sthayi bhav is compared to the yogurt, which is the substance of the drink. The vibhavas, anubhavas, sattvic bhavs, and vyabhachari bhavs are components or compared to the sugar and pepper and various condiments that give the drink its spiritual flavor. These must be combined according to a particular recipe. So guided by scripture, spiritual master, and saints, then we can taste this rasa. So what is ras? You can say ras is bliss. What are the main characteristics of rasa? It is eternal and imperishable. In the pure state of consciousness, rasa is ecstasy and joy. But on the material platform, it is pleasure or pain arising from matter. We can't experience eternal, pure, spiritual rasa in the material body. Only in the spiritual body, which is attained by sadhana, can rasa be animated. Those who have acquired pure prema by abstaining from material pleasure are entitled to cultivate rasa. The natural sentiments of a person who has attained prema is rasa. Rasa and tasting rasa is not part of sadhana. If someone says, come, I will teach you rasa, then that is foolishness. The five bhavas which are experienced in rasa will not be understood by a sadhaka who does not taste rasa. Rasa is not the subject of knowledge, but of taste.